Dear brothers and sisters, God desires to bless His beloved children. But God cannot bless unconditionally. It's God's justice for a person to sow in order to reap. When sowing, you must know the proper way so that good fruit can be gathered. Above all, the greatest blessing you need to receive is the blessing of a prosperous soul. When the soul prospers, you can enjoy the eternal glory of heaven. Even on earth, you can receive answers to whatever you ask. It's why God sometimes waits until your soul prospers before giving you material blessing or healing. You know, sometimes we want to receive answers straight away, like we expect it. And we think that if we were to receive blessings or answers straight away, that we'll have faith and that our faith will grow. But, you know, mankind, it's not always like that. You know, you think that you'd receive great faith if you were to receive answers and that you will, you know, even work harder for God's kingdom. But in reality, there are many people who lose or forget God's grace once they receive the answers that they want. They end up changing their hearts and they end up forgetting all about, you know, God's answers and blessings and grace received. If God were to grant answers first, it could harm you spiritually. In the founding days of our church, there was a similar incident. A man who couldn't walk came to church, our church, seeking healing. And this man, you know, had a severe disability. He just wasn't able to walk. And in the founding of our church, in the founding days, there are many people that came to our church, Manmin Church, in order to receive healing. There are many, you know, people with serious disabilities, major disabilities and illnesses. And they would come and find our church. And many received healing. So this man who wasn't able to walk came to our church and he didn't have faith. But after receiving prayer from Pastor Emeritus Lee, the man came to walk. So though this man had almost no faith, he was healed through the faith and earnest prayer of Pastor Emeritus Lee. So after receiving healing, this man attended Sunday services for only a few weeks, but then afterwards, you know, we couldn't see him anymore. So a church leader who went to visit the man at home said the man had stopped going to church after a few times because he needed to earn money. The man asked how he could keep going to church and that a few times for a healing was enough. So, of course, you know, this man, by being able to walk, you know, was able to earn money. And this man almost considered going to church a few times equivalent to paying back, you know, receiving that healing. So until this man's healing, Pastor Emeritus Lee prayed for people who had no faith to be healed by his own faith. But witnessing these cases, Pastor Emeritus Lee's prayer changed. He began to pray that God would work according to each person's faith and justice. Pastor Emeritus Lee realized that it's far more beneficial for a soul to receive answers once faith for salvation is planted, even if healing comes later. But in reality, you know, many people are, you know, they want to receive answers straight away. They rush. They can't wait. They can't be patient. But if you look back on your own Christian lives, I'm sure you would have had many instances where you've changed your heart and you've had a change of heart. You know, this is something that you need to reflect upon. Why would God, who can heal and give answers straight away, why would God not give answers and blessings and healing works. It's something that you need to reflect upon. Is there, you know, a bigger reason? Is it because you've got a change of heart? Right now, we have new church members that have registered at this church in receiving healing works. And if you are someone who've been at this church for many years and still haven't received healing or answers, that's something that you need to reflect upon. For example, let's say you've got bad eyesight, but you know, your eyesight has gotten better, but not fully healed. And there may be some aspects of your eye where it's a little bit, you know, annoying or difficult. Then that's something that you need to reflect upon. Why is it that you still haven't received full healing yet or full answers yet? It's the same with financial blessings. Some low-income people with fervent faith let their hearts become corrupted after receiving blessings. They fall into sin before God or befriend the world and eventually depart from God. God knows each person's heart and sometimes waits. Sometimes you've got people that have, you know, become too arrogant or prideful after receiving good financial blessings, to the point where they've, you know, fallen all the way back down the social ladder and they've had to, you know, scrounge for any kind of job, any low-income jobs, and they're able to be humble. And they can look back on themselves. But the problem is sometimes we, you know, see that people have a change of heart. Blessings are from God. You know, it's not up to us to look at other people and condemn them and judge them and say, you know, this person used to receive love and blessings from God. Why is it that they're not receiving blessings anymore? Sometimes God, you know, works in a special way. At times it's because of our wrongdoings, and sometimes it's because we have areas where we need to fix in order to become a better person, in order to become a bigger person. And you might think that you see other people that have received good blessings because of the amount of money or the amount of, you know, financial goods, but it may not necessarily be a large amount in God's eyes. It may not be even double the amount. But, you know, God says that we can receive 30, 60, 100-fold the blessings. And in order for us to receive blessings, it may not be 30, 60, or 100 times. You know, and even if we don't circumcise and sanctify our hearts completely, you know, there are times where we receive blessings. It just may not be 30, 60, or 100 times. Don't judge and condemn other people's situations. You know, if you see people that change their hearts easily but receive a bit of blessings, don't judge and condemn. It may be because they have sowed that much and that they've reaped according to the word. Just like the widow who, you know, sowed 2 coins, which was pretty much, you know, all that she had left. Father God was extremely pleased with, you know, this widow's actions and blessed her multiple times. And, you know, this widow might not have entered spirit or whole spirit, but, you know, it was through her actions that God was pleased and ended up giving blessings to. And sometimes through these blessings, you know, these people are able to give to other people that are in need and give charity offerings and do good with their financial blessings. And through that, God may end up pouring out more blessings. However, just because you do so with your actions doesn't mean that, you know, your heart gets sanctified all on its own. But through your actions, God blesses you. And just because it seems like people who have a change of heart are receiving blessings, you know, it's not up to you to decide whether they should or shouldn't receive blessings. There's no need to judge and condemn other people. We always have to be on the alert ourselves and not become like Job. God knows each person's heart and sometimes waits until their faith has grown to a certain point before granting blessings. There are times where God, you know, blesses you straight away because, you know, according to your answers, sometimes God waits knowing that you've got a large vessel in order to give you better blessings. The principle of reaping what is sown never fails. You may reap early or later, but reaping later is not a loss. If you have sown diligently before God with unchanging faith, would God not lead you to have spiritual faith quicker in order to bless you? Receiving both spiritual and physical blessings together is a far greater and truer blessing. James 5 verse 11, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will sow diligently and with unchanging faith receive God's overflowing blessings and testify of His grace. Dear brothers and sisters, until last week, we looked at 6 steps to reap abundantly what's sown. The 7th step to the blessing of reaping what's sown is to sow where God is pleased. To make a profit in stocks, you must invest in profitable stocks. If you invest in poor quality stocks, it becomes difficult to keep the principle. Spiritually, when you sow where God is not pleased, you cannot receive a blessing. For example, when you give to the poor, it must be done according to God's will. Proverbs 19 verse 17, he who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord and he will repay him for his good deed. Despite giving being a way to receive blessings, if you help someone who's sinning and being disciplined by God, you share their trials. If you continue to help someone who keeps sinning, it's the same as helping them continue to disobey God. This can also be seen in the Old Testament book of Jonah. God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh, but Jonah was unwilling and boarded a ship heading in the opposite direction to Tarshish to flee. During the voyage, the ship encountered a storm, and the crew had to throw the cargo overboard. The people on the ship, you know, tried to survive without throwing cargo overboard. But because nothing worked, or their option was to make the boat lighter, which meant throwing their cargo overboard. But despite that, you know, the storm was so severe that it ended up being life-threatening. And these people on the ship realized that, you know, this storm is not any kind of storm. You know, this was God's hand. And so they ended up looking back on themselves and, you know, asked themselves, who on the boat, who on the ship ended up disobeying God? And they found out that it was Jonah. But even though Jonah had been chosen, these people on the ship, they couldn't bring themselves to throw Jonah into the sea. But even though these people realized that, you know, the storm, the difficult storm, the severe storm had come because of Jonah, they still couldn't throw him. Simply keeping Jonah on the ship was effectively helping him continue to resist God's will. These people knew that it was Jonah's fault, and they tried their hardest to, you know, protect Jonah, but this was literally helping him resist God's will. So finally, when the situation became too life-threatening, the people on board had no choice but to throw Jonah into the sea. Of course, it doesn't mean, I'm not saying that you are to ignore and neglect people who are in trials and tribulations. You are to pray for them. You're to help them be able to repent. And, you know, we've got different trials and tribulations. Some of them are financial trials and tribulations. But if we were to leave them, then they may not repent. But some people, through trials and tribulations, they realize their mistake and they completely repent. And it's, you know, it's an action of goodness to help people who try to repent, who want to repent, to come before God again. There was a person years ago at our church. They didn't work for our church, but there was a person who ended up using church's money. And the church found out that this person had used the church's money. And when the church found out about this person, who wasn't part of the church accounting team, but a worker, this person ended up paying back what they stole, what they took from the church, from their pay slips. But when the church asked why they'd taken the church's money, this person said that, you know, he was having financial difficulties, and our pastor Emeritus Lee had a merciful heart and, you know, helped this person repent and ended up giving donations to this person so that, you know, their life wasn't that difficult. You know, we need to make sure that we help people who are in trials and tribulations to go the right path and to help them repent. But we need to look back on ourselves and, you know, if we see other people that are judging and condemning and going the wrong path to what God wants, you know, even though you want to try and help them by being friends with them so that they have something to hold on to, but what would happen? What would happen if you continuously stand beside them? If you stay beside people who continuously judge, condemn, you know, say complaints, grumble, and judge and condemn others? You know, even though you don't want to hear their complaints and their grumbling, even though you don't, you know, take them into your heart, at the end of the day, it still affects you negatively. Of course, you know, what you should do is to, you know, take a step back from them, but still, you know, give them words of love. Help them to repent. And when they realize that their mistakes, their wrongdoings, and they start repenting, then, you know, you can come forth. Take that step forward and grab their hands and help them repent even more to come before God again. You know, there are the truth. It's not just one way. There are different ways to use the truth and to apply the truth in different situations. you know, one situation is not going to be the same for everyone. In giving to the needy and in tithes and offerings, you must have discernment. If you sow where there is strife and discord through the work of Satan and where injustice abounds, God cannot allow you to reap a blessing. When you sow where God is pleased and to those whom He delights in, God enables you to reap with joy. Jesus said in Matthew 10 verses 40 to 42, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward, and whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, truly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." Even if you sow in faith to the minority, the Lord said that the reward will surely come from him. But it's far greater to receive an apostle's reward or a righteous person's reward by accepting them rather than the reward of a minority. For example, God set Abraham as the source of blessing and said in Genesis 12 verse 3, "And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Simply being with Abraham allowed Lot to receive a blessing of prosperity. As Abraham cherished Lot in his heart, God saved Lot and his entire family during the destruction of Sodom. God remembered those whom Abraham held dear in his heart. Through the Bible, we often see that people associated with those loved by God are blessed because of Him. God's people like Abraham, who hold the authority to bless and to curse, can impart blessings directly to others when they speak under God's guidance. Even in these circumstances, blessings are not given randomly. There's a need to prepare a vessel to receive the blessing. For example, when Isaac intended to bestow the blessing of the firstborn upon Esau, he was asked to prepare a savory dish first. Isaac wasn't going to bless Esau as a father, but as a man of God seeking to bless according to the spiritual law. In 1 Samuel 9, the time before Saul became king, he went to the seer to inquire about his way and prepared an offering. This was because he understood the law of sowing and reaping. May you also not miss the special moments of thanksgiving, like the feast offerings, New Year's offerings, and any other occasion when God desires to bless you even more. Dear brothers and sisters, Manmin Central Church, Manmin Church, has worked to share the love of the Lord by caring for the elderly and the minority in the community through charity and service. The church has carried out world missions to fulfill the Lord's great commission of spreading the gospel. To accomplish world missions, God's word and power, along with financial aid, are needed in countries with hardship. There are overseas branch churches that can self-sufficiently stand firm and some that cannot. Manmin Church also continues to support places like Israel where pastors must take on worldly jobs while serving in the church. Not only do we support the living expenses of servants of the Lord, but aid with church operations, fees for inaugural services, and financial support for crusades. Personnel and financial resources are often required for literature, broadcasting, and online missions. All of this is possible through the congregation's offerings. If our church only sought to receive grace, healing, and a spirit-filled life of faith for ourselves only, then there'd be no need to carry out large charity or missionary works. There'd be no need for any responsibilities or burdens. But we've taken the Lord's great commission of, you shall be my witnesses even to the end of the earth, as our mission and endeavor to lead many souls to the Lord. Through all this work, prayer, and sowing, the kingdom of God has expanded and countless souls have seen and experienced the gospel of sanctification and God's great power, enabling many to advance to the beautiful kingdom of heaven. Mammon church members have sown and cultivated in God-pleasing areas, you know, all of your offerings. And if you wonder where all your offerings go, we always have like a meeting, a whole church meeting at the end of the year. And through this meeting, we always divulge information on where all of these offerings have gone, how much offerings and where it's been used, how it's been used. And, you know, we don't just use it vaguely. Church offerings, church finances are always used for world missions, overseas branch churches, charity reasons. And, you know, in order to do so, we, you know, the church requires lots of offerings. All of these offerings, they're not used for personal use. They're all used for charity reasons, for, you know, world mission, for evangelism. And these acts of faith are stored up as infinite rewards in heaven when you do offer to God. You can receive overflowing blessings on this earth according to what you've sown. So may you advance in faith to the rewards God will in return for what you've sown and done. And of course, some of the church offerings, they do go for, you know, church workers' pay and you know, for the sanctuary upkeeps. But most of it are for charity and for world missions, for evangelism. And I find that many of our church members pray for me to achieve world missions through God. You know, this is great faith. In our church trials in 2018, 2019, you know, our faith ended up changing a little bit, and we end up just kind of leaving the offerings just to our church, but, you know, to try and save our offerings in times of trials. But, you know, this is not faith. Faith is giving, is offering, is, you know, working for God's kingdom. This ends up adding to our faith. You know, even though the church doesn't always divulge specific information every week on where all of these offerings go, you need to believe in the church. You need to believe in God. If, you know, the church were to use, you know, the church uses all of these offerings for charity works and for world missions. If we were to just not offer to God and not offer to the church and end up, you know, doing whatever it is that we want, we may not receive as much blessings. The church always works for God's kingdom. And through these offerings of church members, the church always follows God's will and uses the finances in needed areas. So when you sow in the right places that please God, you can receive overflowing blessings that surpass human calculation and ability. So may you advance in faith in order to receive blessings from God. The Bible contains many accounts of God's wondrous blessings. In 1 Kings 17, a widow provided for Elijah and received provisions even amid a severe drought. The entire nation was suffering from famine, and all the widow had left was a handful of flour and a bit of oil. She planned to bake bread for herself and her son with it, and afterwards face starvation. There was only enough for one meal. And after this one meal, there would be nothing left. There was enough ingredients to make bread enough for one meal. But in 1 Kings 17, verses 13 to 14, Elijah said to the widow, "Do not fear. Go, do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me, and afterward you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." Rationally, no one with decency would ask another for their very last portion of food. But Elijah had faith. He believed that if the widow was to serve a man of God, she would be blessed. It's why Elijah could ask the widow to give food considered as precious as life. When the woman believed in God's promise and obeyed, she experienced a great miracle. You know, it's not as simple as giving just, you know, a meal to Elijah. It's the fact that this widow only had one meal left. And it's not like they had rain that, that the woman could go out and provide for herself. They were in a drought. There was barely any food. And for the woman to have just one meal left and knowing that after this meal, tomorrow, there'd be no more, only starvation would be left. How much would she have, you know, considered the ingredients of that one bread precious? By offering up the last portion of food, she received provision until the drought ended. Through this incident, she saved both her and her son's life. This blessing cannot be calculated to 10 or 100 times. To receive blessings, you must always remember to discern wisely and sow correctly in places that please God. To reap blessings to what you've sown, the eighth step, the last step, is to be faithful to the kingdom of God. It means that you must diligently live in faith without wavering. God never forgets those who are faithful to His kingdom. Many of our church members faithfully fulfill multiple important roles in the church despite being busy with their own work. They profess to do God's work and that God takes care of their work. Many of you have been in difficult circumstances and received blessings after meeting God. You know not to forego God's work no matter how busy your work. By being faithful and asking in faith, God gradually makes your work prosper. To those who are truly faithful in spirit, service is not only in the action. You offer worship in spirit and truth and pray fervently without ceasing. You offer worship in spirit and truth. God never accepts the faithfulness of those who love Him and serve diligently for free. God surely bestows blessings so that His glory may be revealed. But some people, they faithfully carry out godly missions before receiving blessings and then become negligent after their personal business prospers. The church is God's kingdom. Church missions, church work is God's missions. It is God's work. So when you do God's work, when you do church missions or church missions, this is doing, it's the same as doing God's work and God's missions. This is storing up rewards in heaven. If you were to go to heaven, but, you know, you haven't been faithful to the church, you know, you haven't really put in any effort or labor, then you have no rewards in heaven. Being faithful for the church is being faithful for God's kingdom. And that ends up storing up rewards in heaven, so that when you enter heaven, you have those rewards. You have the rewards in form of jewels and gems and light. But some people say, especially our young adults, you know, they worry, or they don't know how to volunteer, or they're not sure whether the church needs volunteers. The church always requires volunteers. And sometimes people say that they're not skilled, they don't really have a particular talent. And even these people, you can start from somewhere at the church. You know, knock on the doors of our church, knock on the offices. And all of these experiences at church can end up being good skills for when you go out into the world and end up working in the business sector. But like I said, some people, you know, they faithfully carry out godly missions before receiving blessings, but they end up, you know, being negligent after they receive prosperous blessings. In these cases, not only has God's mission been neglected, but also their entire spiritual life. The grace of God, the grace of worship grows cold, and prayer gets missed once or twice. As fervor fades, they gradually compromise with the world and even engage in what God dislikes for money. When God turns away, the business that had once prospered, it collapses. And these people may even suffer illness. The most important aspect is spiritual blessing. The foolish rich man built new storehouses and filled them with grain, rejoicing in the abundance. But what does God say about him? Luke 12, verse 20, but God said to him, "Fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now whose will those things be which you have prepared?" I pray in the name of the Lord, that you will never become foolish, blinded by vain riches and distress, God. Dear brothers and sisters, so far we've looked at the 8 steps to reaping what you sow. First, you must cultivate your heart field. Second, you must keep the Sabbath completely and give tithes. Third, you must not ask with selfish motives. Fourth, you must walk in the right way. Walking in the right way doesn't just apply to people who do business. You know, if you work for a company, you need to be diligent. And if you want to become, you know, a manager or a team leader or a sectional leader at your company at work, then you must also have the skill to do that kind of work. So you need to continuously expand your skills. Fifth, the more you sow, the more you will reap. Sixth, your faith and actions must not change. Seventh, you must sow in places where God is pleased. Eighth, you must be faithful to the kingdom of God. Considering these teachings, have you prepared a vessel fit enough to receive blessings? If there are areas lacking, fill them. If you feel in your heart to follow according to the word, then be sure to follow through and act accordingly. You have lived with faith by sowing and reaping to the best of your ability. Through today's word, may you correct what's lacking, become perfect, and sow with a fragrance that's truly pleasing to God. I pray in the name of the Lord that you'll glorify God with joy until the Lord returns.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father, God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.